I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. This is our round four preview of the Capital One Cup. We had a fantastic round three of the Capital One Cup, and now round four is upon us. We have to go straight to the big one, Arsenal versus Chelsea. Arsenal beat West Brom on penalties.
I thought you were going to say Burnley-West Ham.
Did you really?
Yeah. Surely it depends on your point of view which one the big one is, Marcus.
Well, the Claret and Blue derby for many people, yeah, that would be. Yeah. But Arsenal beat West Brom on penalties to progress, and Chelsea won 2-0 at Swindon. Arsenal versus Chelsea. Jim, you're our resident Arsenal fan.
Yes, I am. It's going to be an interesting one. I mean, you get a big side out early, straight away, so a lot of clubs will be happy about this tie. But, you know, Arsenal, they're going very well, and they need to keep confidence up, so I think they're going to approach this game obviously trying to just, you know, win it. But Chelsea have got such depth that it's going to be difficult. It's a real test of, you know, the newfound strength and depth that Arsenal have to see if they can handle Chelsea.
I was going to say, Pete, Arsenal have got a bit of strength and depth now, haven't they? They've got a lot of creative midfielders. And
well, Arteta's banned, Flamini's out. So
Flamini's such a big
two less.
Flamini's such a big miss.
He said that he's going to use a couple of the younger players, which is great news. Which, to be honest, the great thing about Arsene Wenger is he uses the young players in the Premier League anyway, so
that's
fine.
Right.
So it doesn't really make much
I've seen the likes of Gnabry do.
Yeah.
I was confused as to why this game is played on the Tuesday, not the Wednesday. I would have preferred to see it on the Wednesday because Chelsea played on the Sunday. And I know Mourinho has been a bit annoyed about that. But
I'm fine with that.
I've got no problem with that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Definitely the biggest game of the round. It's a repeat of the 2007 final, actually, isn't it?
That's right.
But you know, Flamini's going to be such a big miss for Arsenal. The player they signed in the summer, who no one really said anything about. It came in on the free. Okay, yeah, well, he went before. I mean, you've got to remember, it's not a huge surprise that Flamini's been so good, given that...
he was amazing when he left. It was a huge loss.
Wasn't he one of the biggest... because he went on the free team. He was one of the biggest paid players in Serie A at the time.
Really?
Flamini?
Yeah, because he went on a free transfer, so they offered him a lot more money. So he'll be a massive miss for them. And I know that, we touched on the show we did earlier in the week, that Jim said that he might be out for 3 weeks, but I've heard that it's a groin/pelvis thing, and it might actually be a lot longer. So I mean, if he is out longer,
well, 3 weeks from Arsenal means we don't quite know yet, doesn't it?
Everything's 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, right.
I can confirm that my groin is very close to my pelvis, so the story checks out.
It is currently,
thanks Dr. Pete. More from him later.
Jack Wilshere's back, right?
Yeah,
that's a massive plus.
But you know, Wilshere's played a lot of games recently, so, you know, Wilshere may be rested, we don't know.
And is the 2007 final the final that Abu Dhabi kicked
Terry in the face? Yeah.
So is Diaby going to be back? Maybe we'll see a repeat of that.
Maybe they'll wheel him out just to do that.
What, in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Right, do it now. All right. Oh, poor John Terry, eh? Said no one ever.
Before he was a footballer, maybe.
What do you think to this, Mark?
I think Arsenal will win it. I think Arsenal have got an excellent side, obviously, this season. I think they're taking... all the cup competitions.
It's very important that they keep momentum going. I think more so for Arsenal than for Chelsea.
I think that's it, isn't it? Arsenal are riding the crest of a wave.
And Joe Hart's not involved in this fixture at all, so.
That's true.
It's the start of a huge period for Arsenal where they play Chelsea, obviously, then they play Liverpool in the league, and they play Dortmund away in the Champions League, and they play Man United in the league. So this is a really important game for them. They had a good win at the weekend in quite difficult circumstances. Chelsea are always a tough team to play, especially when Mourinho is managing them. So I agree with you, Marcus. I think Arsenal might nick it.
Home advantage is massive.
Yeah, of course, always.
But,
yeah,
but that momentum, it's
yeah,
it's...
that cauldron of noise.
I forgot to tell you guys, when I went the other week, I got away from Gunnosaurus.
Might be the
best thing that's ever happened to me.
Was it you or one of the other
kids?
2000?
No, he was definitely looking at me. I could see in his definitely real eyes.
Okay. Does he still fire out T-shirts from a camera?
Yeah, yeah. Still wears a watch around his neck, inexplicably.
Did you get a T-shirt?
No, I didn't, sadly.
Is that the Arsenal clock? Is that what it means?
Yeah, but it's a strange watch to have, because the only person on the planet who can't see it is the person wearing it, which is surely not the point of a watch.
You can at least have one of those nurses' ones that are upside down that you just look at. I don't know. Why does a dinosaur need to know the time?
Why does a dinosaur fire T-shirts out of a cannon? You know, we could be here all day.
To dislodge a pterodactyl from the rafters. So you could chomp on him.
Gunnosaurus.
Gunnosaurus Rex.
Yeah, so just to sum that up, Gunnosaurus. Arsenal win and a new watch for Gunnosaurus. Birmingham City, they're at home to Stoke City in the City Derby.
That's different cities, mate.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's strange. Well, fair enough. I'll take your word for it. Stoke under Mark Hughes are a formidable side.
No, I disagree with that.
They are a side.
They are indeed. Birmingham beat Swansea 3-1 in the previous round. So they have a Premier League scalp already.
They do. And
in
also,
the competition.
I hope we see Jesse Lingard in this game as well, because he got four against Sheffield Wednesday, and he's only scored once since then. But, you know, it being a cup competition, maybe it'll bring the best out of the young man, and we'll see some of the excitement that we know he can generate.
I agree, because I think that with him, he's obviously at Man United, he's seen someone who was going to go on to become a player at the highest level, presumably, and he's getting a chance to play against Premier League opposition in name at least. Stoke haven't won for six games. They're one place above the relegation zone. I mean, they've played some tough teams, of course, and not least Manchester United at the weekend, but they've also had some winnable games as well, and they've not managed to win them. Mm.
Chances are, though, that Lee Clark, the manager of Birmingham, he does lose his head during cup competitions, so he'd probably wear a t-shirt saying Birmingham sucks or something.
Yeah.
Birmingham stinks.
I hate the rotunda.
He doesn't get off his head.
I hate the ball ring. But I was going to say, I've seen Birmingham play a couple of times this season. I saw them play when they lost to Bolton. Mm-hmm. They lost 2-1 to Bolton, and they were really unlucky. Bolton were terrible.
Bolton aren't having a good time.
No, they've picked up a little bit recently, but at that point they were right in the midst of their crisis, and they lost an early goal, and they pushed on for an equaliser and then got sucker punched, and I think they got a consolation. But they didn't play too badly at all, and I think they can nick this.
I think Birmingham will win.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few upsets. Last year in the same competition, I mean, we saw so many upsets, so many surprising results. Mm. It was an amazing advert for the competition. And I think we could have a few this time around as well. And I think this will be one of them. I think Birmingham will nick it, because they've already beaten Swansea in the round before. They don't know what it takes to beat them.
They could be the only team wearing blue as a home kit that will advance.
They're a very different footballing side, though, Swansea versus Stoke.
Yeah,
very much so. It's a different challenge, Pete. I think we can all agree on that.
But the ball will not be on the floor.
But I think, in fairness to Stoke, and I know you haven't really got to do much to be more progressive than the Tony Pulis side. But
Mark Hughes, come on.
I think I've read that Stephen Nzonzi for Stoke has actually got, I mean, I forget the stats specifically, but he's having a really good season so far.
He's a good player.
I think he's quite a good player.
Underrated.
Yeah, so they've definitely got the ability to do well. It's just they're not in a good run at the moment, and they're really struggling in the league. So, you know, it's going to be difficult for them. And to go to Birmingham, who are, let's face it, quite a big club.
Yeah, well, maybe Birmingham will instruct Nikola Zigic to just put himself about and just out-Stoke Stoke.
That'd be great.
See if they can handle it.
He'll surely be marking Peter Crouch from corners.
Hopefully they'll just make some sort of double act.
Some sort of tall off.
Yeah. Because both of them are tall.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's right.
Super.
Just in case anyone is unaware, Burnley versus West Ham United in the Clarence Blue Derby.
I think that's another one that could be an upset. I think Burnley could win that. They're in great form, and I think there should be an added spice to this game where whoever loses can never wear Clarence Blue again.
Yeah,
imagine the tension.
Yeah,
West Ham just don't have any strikers at the moment. Andy Carroll's still a couple of weeks away from being fit.
But your point stands.
Vaz Tez out with a bad shoulder injury. He had the same injury last season, I think, and he was out for 3 months. So I hope he gets, better soon.
Allardyce is doing a great job of PR in his team this season, because the amount of mileage they've got out of that win over Spurs, they're about 7 or 8 points, I think, worse off than they were this time last year. They've had not easy games, but they've had a lot of winnable games. They've won, I think, two in their last 10 games. Well, two. Also, I think they've won.
Did you see him laughing at the weekend at Chico Flores?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, what was that all that about? Yeah. I only saw the animated GIF.
Flores did a sort of theatrical dive when he got a bit of a coming together.
Very close.
Sort of laughing right in his face, wasn't he? It was a bit strange.
But like an evil baddie in a Disney film.
Indeed. But I mean, apart from that, that Spurs win aside, they've been really poor. Like they've bought really badly. And the thing is, if it wasn't for the emergence of Morrison, which West Ham deserves a bit of Allardyce deserves a bit of credit for getting the best out of, I suppose, so far, their lack of a plan B. I mean, everything. Mm. What he did is he went out there and he bought Carroll and he bought Jarvis, right? Mm. And he said, right, that's it, that's our strategy. Yeah, Carroll's injured.
Downing as well.
Yeah. Oh, Downing. Sorry. Yeah. Carroll's injured. You're basically putting all your stock on a striker who's questionable in terms of ability at the top level anyway, who cannot stay fit. Mm. And now they've got no other option than to play this formation, which is quite a regressive formation, which is not even really an attacking one either. It's a containment of a formation and a tactic. And that's no good in the cup competition.
Well, I don't know, because Burnley will go at them. You know, we've seen the way they've been playing this season. They're very, very attack-minded themselves. So maybe if West Ham can keep them at arm's length and just, you know, just nick the goals when they get the chances.
Well, their man up top, Danny Ings, who scored in the previous round.
Sam Vokes has been playing very well as well.
That's it.
It's another strike partnership. You know, we're talking about Sturridge and Suarez in the Premier League, but Ings and Vokes are just tearing it up down there as well.
It's like Sutton and Shearer all over again, isn't it?
I mean, I think when West
No.
they wish it was. When West Ham beat Cardiff in the last round of the Capital One Cup, the players who score goals, I mean, Vaz Tay is, I suppose, to all intents and purposes, is a forward. He scored the winner, didn't he? But it was Jarvis who scored and Morrison who got a really early goal. But you can't rely on those sort of players. I mean, you know, Marcus, I mean, how many goals do you think someone like, you know, Jarvis or Morrison is going to give you over this course of a season?
Well, that's it. I mean, if you got seven or eight goals out of Morrison, you'd probably be fairly content with that.
You'd be well happy with that, wouldn't you? It's his first full season.
That's
really.
It, yeah. I mean, but he did play the other week a 4-6-0.
Yeah.
Proving again that he's that stylish continental manager that we all know lies beneath that blubber. But
very harsh.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't mean...
Steady.
Yeah. Because you've all been so kind to him. I think West Ham, he knows how to make a team difficult to beat sometimes, Allardyce.
And you think that's good enough against a team like Burnley who are flying?
Well, I think that... It's interesting...
I'm going to enjoy watching this match, I tell you what.
I think this could be one to watch, actually. I don't know. I'd love to see Burnley progress.
Mm. I think. Well, I mean, one thing you should say in West Ham's defence is the last time they played in this competition, it was 3-2 against Cardiff. It was there were a load of shots. It was quite an even game, and so it did lend itself to a reasonably entertaining affair. So we'll see what happens. But I think Burnley could win this game and win well, actually. I don't mind sticking my neck out and saying that Burnley could win this maybe 2-1.
Well, one championship side that will be going through is Leicester City, because they're at home to Fulham. And Fulham have not been very good this season at all. I mean, well, they did beat Everton in the previous round, which was a big win. But Leicester City, they're going pretty well so far this season. They're at home. They've got a real chance there. Martin Yole's not. He doesn't look as though he's having a good time at Fulham.
But do you not think the Leicester kind of raised their game a little bit in the last round? Oh, you know, looking Leicester, at who they were playing.
They beat Derby.
They hate Derby.
Leicester had a complete brain fart against Doncaster in the league. And other than that, they haven't lost for absolutely ages. They're second in the division. They're above QPR, who are getting all the plaudits. QPR, of course, have only lost one game and they've got a game in hand in the Championship. But Leicester are going great guns. They really are.
And Fulham are not.
No, they're not. No.
Scored some good goals.
In one game they did.
I think what is a real shame with someone like Fulham is they've got all the talent, and we've spoken about it on the show in the past. They've got an imbalanced team, and it's difficult. And Joel, I don't think, has done an awfully great job over the last 6 months or so with the players he signed and the way they've set up in the league this season. But the real shame of the situation is, this is a competition that a team like Fulham would have a real desire. I mean, Swansea won last year. It throws up great games. It throws up great ties.
That's
and
right.
Great teams win it that you wouldn't necessarily expect.
But you're right about Fulham.
And they could do it. Why couldn't they do it? Do you know what I mean? Why couldn't they win?
I think one of the pundits quite rightly said they've got a bit of a soft core.
Oh, very much so.
But then, Amorebieta, Hangerland, Parker, I mean, it's not
Sidwell.
It's not that soft.
That's
very
true,
isn't it? Parker's kind of passed his best a little bit, though.
Still, though, I think but I think he's still a fairly decent player.
He is past his best, Pete, as far as when he was at Spurs. the level they're operating at and the way they want to compete on these different different levels and different competitions. And essentially, they are in all but practice as a Champions League team, aren't they? Really, that's their mentality.
Yeah.
And he can't play that many games at that good a level at this stage of his career. But there's no reason he can't operate in the Premier League at a decent standard and have the occasional great game in games. Yeah. So, and a classic example would be if Fulham get through this game against Leicester away. I mean, then in the next round they get, say, the winner of Arsenal Chelsea at Craven Cottage. Parker puts an occasional monumental performance in, and they get past them. It could happen.
Yeah,
I think teams like Fulham should really be targeting this cup for sure.
It's an interesting tie. Who do you think needs the win more? Both sides are coming at it from very, very different places. But, you know, Leicester, obviously, they will want to keep the momentum going because they're going well at the moment. But Fulham need a boost, don't they? They need something. They need to prove to themselves, maybe outside of the context of the Premier League, that they can actually play.
A Premier League side always needs to be a Championship side. If a Championship side lose, they can say, you know, the Premier League, and we aspire to be that. And if they play well and lose, they can say, oh, we're unlucky. We gave the big boys, or one of the big boys, a good game. Whereas if Fulham lose, then you've lost to a side who are a division below.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room?
Of course.
Big David Nugent.
I'm glad you mentioned
Big David Nugent scores goals for Fire.
Call him by his nickname, The Difference.
The Difference. He's got 8 goals for Leicester already this season. He's their top scorer.
Yeah. Right.
If there's one thing that gets the differences, juices flowing, it's when Premier League opposition come to town.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yes.
100% record for England, lest we forget.
The Gunslinger. The Matador. The Nuge.
The Exocet.
Yeah.
The Difference.
How many people... This is a little idea for you. We're recording this a day or two before the round of games. How many players in Fulham's ranks between now and then will suddenly get a bit of a nick? A little bit of a niggle? Because they know they've got to play against the Nuge.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them.
They'll do well to put a team out.
All of them apart from Parker, Amorbieta,
Martin Yeo will be like, come on guys, someone's got to play. Come on.
Well, I think we could see Big Yeo. Might be on the field, if indeed
the
got
Nuge
to that.
Versus the Huge.
So I think that this could be a pen shootout.
Well, okay, yeah.
Nuge
that'd be great.
Nuge with the winning pen.
I like how Luke's adopting the job of speculator.
I'm the man who puts his nest on the block.
Anybody can speculate, Pete. Luke's just choosing to do it. Yeah. Get involved. Get involved. Here's another fixture we're going to talk about, and throw your tuppence worth.
Oh, yeah, I'll happily speculate on this one.
Yeah. Manchester United versus Norwich City. It's going to be at Old Trafford.
Surely a home win. Get a pump in.
Surely a home win for Manchester United.
Yeah, well, you know, United could do with putting a little cup run together, couldn't they? For their
bless him.
For their confidence.
Give their fans something to cheer about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Norwich City, they won at Watford 3-2 after extra time, and Manchester United beat Liverpool 1-0 on the previous round.
Yeah, you'd think Man United would go through here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the players that Man United are going to play. There's talk that Darren Fletcher might come back in and play.
Really?
Yeah. Which would be amazing.
That would be brilliant.
Great to see, you know.
That would be nice.
Zaha's supposed to be making his first start of the season, I think.
Who's apparently been told by... Which is crazy, given that he only signed in this... I mean, he obviously did sign, but he went back on loan to Palace. But he's now been told, apparently, if the reports to be believed, he can go on loan. I mean, Zaha is such a talented player. Mm. You know, and it would be great to see him play this midweek in this competition. But, I mean, if Darren Fletcher comes back as well, that would be great. In many ways, that's why, and we talked about this on the other show, why it's so important that Man United turn that around against Stoke. Because...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because let's be honest, we all know that Man United aren't going to sack David Moyes. They're certainly not going to sack him this season. So if he can come out of this season with the Capital One Cup, for example, he can say, well, it's a trophy. I've won a trophy, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, Arsenal won a trophy for years and years, you know. So it wasn't just a dig, you know what I mean? But it puts it in perspective.
Well, that's true.
That they can actually have something to show for their season. So it's a massively important game for them. And Norwich, and I know that Norwich didn't beat Cardiff at the weekend, but David Marshall was magnificent in that game, and Norwich played some really nice stuff.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's definitely a consideration for Man United. It's not going to be a gimme by any means. So we'll see what happens. And also, just finally before you guys cut in, Gary Hooper was brilliant last round.
He was.
He had a great comeback win against Watford. Gary Hooper was superb. He couldn't quite score against Cardiff. David Marshall made a great save from him. But it'll be great to see him playing at Old Trafford as well, because I imagine he'll start.
Jim, tell the listeners and me what's going to happen in this game.
What's going to happen is Fletcher and Zaha obviously will have quite a lot to prove to their new manager, and it'll be a bit much for Norwich, and it will be a Man United win, I reckon. 2-3-1, maybe.
Yeah.
Marcus,
yeah.
Have Man United...
And Chicharito will probably play as well, I would think.
Chicharito will score the winning goal.
Exactly.
If there is a winning goal.
What
there
he
could
does.
Be, there could be a bigger margin.
Have Man United, in your view, missed Darren Fletcher?
I think, yeah, a little bit, maybe. I think in that department, they've lacked a little. And I think Carrick... His game is improved when Fletcher's been there. Mm. I mean, Fletcher's been out so long, though.
He has been out for so long. He's not going to finish the game.
It would be wonderful to see him back. But can he get back to his best? It is a tricky one. But, yeah, it's an all-Premier League affair. So one Premier League team less will advance to round five. So, again, an interesting one. Perhaps the only game of round four that we could definitely say an away win is Newcastle United at home to Manchester City. Yes, you're our resident magpie.
When I said that that we were going to get a pumping, I thought you were moving straight out of this match.
I thought I'd skip John.
I missed a Tuesday fixture. We're on Wednesday now.
I thought I'd let that go. But you've decided to flag up your own error.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, we're not going to win, are we?
Johan Guffram was giving it the big one.
Yeah. Mm. Big ambitions of going all the way in the Capital One Cup this season. I should hope so.
I realise they've got to win games. It's not a round robin league thing. You've actually got to win them.
In the derby at the weekend, he wasn't even anonymous.
He aspires to anonymity.
Yeah, exactly. It all got a bit. All got a bit rubbish
at the weekend. Sammy Amiobi's major contribution to the Tyne-Wear derby was to give away a load of corners for Sunderland in the final minute.
Yeah, it was like four in a row, wasn't it? But you can see sort of players like Sammy Amiobi getting on the field. You know, maybe Sylvain Marvaux, possibly. I'd like to point out that we have got a fairly decent bench, and we've got a really decent
sitting on it though?
But it's up to Pardew to put his money where his mouth is and just sort of and actually play. The A team. That's what I'm saying.
What, the actual A team?
The actual A team.
It's come to that.
That's the only chance I've got.
Yeah.
These are some of the fresh ideas Joe Kinnear brings.
Hannibal Smith would be like,
judge from my sign-ins. I've got your B.A. Baracus.
I've never said this before. We're going to decline this, actually.
Yeah.
They did a good win against Leeds in the previous round, but Manchester City, obviously, much tougher
it's
opposition.
Squad depth again, isn't it?
City, yeah.
City went past Wigan like they weren't even there last round. 5-0.
They made a mist of Wigan.
I did. I think that that it'd be a really, really... I mean, Pete, you could confirm this. It'd be a really frustrating time to support Newcastle at the moment, because when you support a team who are just... And trust me, I know this. When you support a team that are just terrible, you almost get a bit of gallows humour about it, right?
Yeah.
So you just like, whatever, you know, I've finally got a win when you win once in a blue moon. When your team are really good, obviously that's great, but Newcastle are really inconsistent, which is neither one thing or another. It's really annoying.
So with 9 or 10 internationals, which is annoying.
They could kill you with hope.
So they could be terrible, but they could be great.
So they do really annoying things, Newcastle. They beat Cardiff away, and you think that's a really good result, you know. And then they draw with Liverpool, which is, you know, a reasonable result as well. I know it's a bit of funny circumstances, but then they lose to Sunderland. Do you know what I mean? It's really frustrating.
And then the season, you know, Ben Arthur pulled us out of some, like, a bit of a mire, and he comes out with, I want to win the Ballon d'Or. Yeah.
Well, we all want to win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. I've still got ambitions myself.
Yeah, I'll be lying if I sit here and say I didn't want to win it myself.
The FIFA inspectors never went down to that pitch in the Sunday League.
I'll tell you a curiosity about Ben Arthur. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed this, but he is one of the last players you would ever expect to wear a pair of really boring plain black boots, but he does wear really
true.
Yeah, okay,
you think
right.
He'd wear like really
flashy
ones. Yeah, but he wears really normal, like Scott Parker type black boots.
That is true. Maybe it's written in his contract.
You've got to be humble.
You're ridiculous enough as it is. You're not having the boots.
That's right. It was another all Premier League affair, and there's another one. Spurs at home to Hull
again.
Yes, that's right. They beat them in the league the other week. But Hull, I mean, played well, did they not?
They did, yeah. It's going to be interesting. Like, you often see a team that have just narrowly lost. If there's a game like this where they get another crack at it straight away, that they work out how to do it and they win. And I would love to see that. I'm sure we all would. I mean, Tom Huddleston getting the winner, cutting his hair on the pitch.
Yeah,
he's doing that thing for charity, isn't it, where he's growing it until
it's been like 2.5 years now.
I think it's April 2011.
He's not thought it through.
No.
The thing is, though, I think... It was only recently that people found out about that. I just thought he was growing his hair.
Yeah, we had a situation with Spurs at the weekend where they beat Hull, obviously, just about. It was a very strange atmosphere. AVB made some quite inflammatory comments about the Spurs fans and what the atmosphere was like at White Hart Lane. But Spurs had such a good result in the last round of the Capital One Cup. They beat Villa 4-0 at Villa, I think.
That's right.
And so
they look fantastic.
Obviously, because there's so many games and they come thick and fast around this time.
And they're in the Europa League as well.
Indeed, yeah. So you shuffle the pack a bit, but they've got such a good squad.
Again,
you know,
yes.
So you get someone like Lamella could come in, you know, and
isn't that a, you know what I mean? A luxury yeah.
record signing?
But it's been interesting with Lamella because they signed so many players that the pressure's kind of not been on him that much. So I mean, maybe this would be a good opportunity for him to shine.
Raj Baines on the Twitter actually says, "I can't wait for Steve Bruce's revolutionary flat back nine to get a second run out." But the Hull did make it really difficult for Spurs at the weekend. But if you're Hull, now listen,
it was only a contentious penalty,
indeed, and that was it was never a pen. Mm. And what we touched on earlier about West Ham and the way Allardyce is really good at PRing himself.
Yes,
I mean Hull are having a great season.
They are,
you know. And Steve Bruce is normally just as bad at his self promotion stuff, but he's actually kept his course. I mean, he wasn't even that bad with that penalty decision at the weekend, and they're having a really good time.
Hull have gone under the radar, but people always say, "Oh, I think maybe the three promoted clubs will go down." Yeah. Obviously, Palace not doing too well, and Hull and oh.
They're doing okay.
Well, that's it. It's because they are doing okay, isn't it? And it's not like they're sort of like flying.
They're quite an unfashionable like team as well, aren't they?
But how important to them is Tom Hoddleston? Because I think he's an excellent player, Tom Hoddleston.
Yeah, well, excellent.
He's a good player.
I'll tell you something now, right? A few more months of this standard of play. If I know it's a lot of ears, but if Hull get to the semi-final of this competition, they do Spurs this week, and they have a good draw next round. They end up getting to stages, and they have a good campaign in the league. Right, he'd be in the World Cup squad.
Well, I was about
because
to
he's
say.
Playing so well at the moment, and he's really working hard as well, which is something that was always his mobility and his work rate was something that was question marks that were held over him. You know,
but also, I mean, how often did he put a decent run of games together? It wasn't ever for that long, was
but
it?
But he never sort of confident he was going to be playing all the time, was he?
Exactly.
I think going to Hull is an excellent move for him, and it's one of those ones where so many, especially English players, think nope, I'm staying here and I'm going to dig in and get the breaks at Spurs or a Chelsea or something, and really. Realistically, they're not going to get that. Mm. So it's good that Huddleston's moved on. And like you say, Luke, with regards to questions of his mobility and whatnot at Hull, he's going to be asked a lot of questions with regards to that sort of thing. And it will force his hand. And I think he's a very crucial player. And he will be dying to put in a good performance.
And he almost scored against Spurs at the weekend.
He did.
The other thing that was worth touching on with Huddleston, and he'll be one of the players to watch in this in round four as well.
Yes.
And there's several reasons that people should tune into this game. One, because of this atmosphere around White Hart Lane and what AVB said at the weekend.
That's right.
Two, because you've got Huddleston, who used to play for Spurs, obviously. Spurs will have designs on winning this competition as well, so it should be a good game. And they were so impressive last time. But just the final point on Huddleston, the evolution of how tactics are going and how top teams are playing, especially in international level, plays into Huddleston's hands, because Huddleston is a very technically good football player.
He is indeed.
And, and the way that England sometimes play with the two shielded midfield players, the two deep midfield players, Huddleston could play that role.
It doesn't
matter that he's not all that, because Michael Carrick isn't Steven Gerrard. He doesn't run up and down all day, and he just does things.
And if Carrick gets an injury,
you'd have Huddleston in there. You would. I certainly would.
And what a hit he's got on him.
Yeah,
well, indeed.
It's a thud, isn't it? It's a T-hud.
You'd fancy him. Yeah, it is. You'd fancy him to take a free kick and a penalty.
You would. Absolutely.
You know, so.
An Englishman.
That's the measure of what it's like to be an England fan. I'm already thinking about penalties next summer.
Yeah. You're thinking of fictional penalties.
Well, we could have a penalty in this game. We could have a penalty shootout in this game.
Well,
and
again,
could score it.
It doesn't exist yet. It's it's Schrodinger's penalty at the moment.
Yeah, it really is.
The main point on Hull Spurs though is: do you think Hull bothered to go home, or would they have had a little city break in London between the two games?
I hope so. I really, really hope so. Yeah. I like the thought of Hull and Huddleston lifting the Capital One Cup, and then off to Brazil he goes and lifts the World Cup.
That is fanciful to
place
say
your bets now.
Yeah. My God.
An intriguing fixture as well, an all Premier League tie on Wednesday, is Sunderland versus Southampton. In all seriousness, if I was to pick a team for this competition, it could be Southampton. They're playing wonderfully well. A bit like Swansea last season, Jim. Mm. Excellent. They're playing great stuff. They would love a bit of silverware.
They just don't concede goals, do they?
They don't concede goals. But they're scoring goals. I mean, it's the perfect recipe to win football matches.
That's
scoring goals and not conceding.
Isn't it? But, I mean, Sunderland getting that win over Newcastle at the weekend is absolutely massive, so they're going to be confident as well. This is going to be a really intriguing game, this.
Yeah. The home advantage for Sunderland is important in a game like this, and especially, as you say, buoyed by the North East Derby win against Newcastle. The fans will be up for it, and Gus Poyet will be enthused by that very much.
Well, they struggled when they played Peterborough. I don't know if they struggled, actually. They played Peterborough in round three, and they beat him 2-0, and the boy who came on, I haven't seen much of him, a guy called Valentin came on about half an hour left and scored the second goal after Jaccarini opened the scoring against Peterborough.
Yes.
Peterborough aren't a great team. And I know Sunderland are a different proposition now, and we've seen them improve in terms of performances and obviously the result of the weekend. So they may have a lot more to offer than they did have at this point in round three.
You
so,
can't underestimate the getting rid of De Canio, the impact that can have.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Indeed. But Southampton are playing so well at the moment. As a Pompey fan, obviously it pains me to say it. But they look... one of the weird things about Southampton, I thought, is that they're going really well. So they've had a good run of fixtures. They play, say, Fulham at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they just breeze past them.
Oh,
not
well,
even
yeah.
there. Like it was, I mean, Fulham could have been playing... 3 weeks
and not
got anywhere near scoring. You know, it was,
they made a mist out of Fulham.
They really did. It was like they were playing in a training game. They're so well organised.
Yeah.
They do that thing, and you'll see them do it against someone in the Capital One Cup. They do this thing where they, and as much as it pains me to compare Southampton to Barcelona, they do that full pitch press so well.
When we started this podcast, who would ever think it would come to this for you?
Yeah. And those Southampton fans who are moaning about Adkins being sacked are pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Now,
that's right. It's true. I mean, Jim, that Southampton, that it's... As Luke said, they breeze past Fulham. They're not just winning games. And we've seen a number of sides, the so-called lower sides in the Premier League, a bit of good form, a bit of passion, a bit of luck. And they kind of get through games and have that great run till Christmas and they drop off a little bit. And that may well happen to Southampton with regards to the dropping off after Christmas. Who knows? But this is a bit different. They're organised. They have players who are playing well, who are good players. And this could have a bit more longevity than almost, just a lucky run.
They're almost perplexing
or a
teams
plucky run,
with that, aren't they?
Yes.
I don't think people expect them to be as well organised and as clinical as they are.
They've conceded one goal with all competitions since the end of August.
It's Roma-esque.
Yeah, it really is.
It's crazy.
So obviously it depends on the draw, because we say something like, oh, Southampton could have a chance of winning the Capital One Cup, but
they're going to
struggle, of course. But I mean, they've definitely got a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest though, the way Man City are
Swansea
playing,
won it last season though.
Yeah.
You know, all of those teams win the draw at
Bradford
some point.
Bradford City.
Exactly.
In the final.
Mm.
There you go. But well, that concludes our preview.
What?
Oh, no, it doesn't.
I've got tweets.
Oh, stop, beg your
Come
pardon,
on, you guys.
Sorry.
Sweet. I've spoken to several of
the
our
internet.
Listeners. Yeah, I've spoken to the internet, and I've asked them what.
Well, I'm saying that concludes our roundup.
Yes, it does. Well done. Yeah, it took you a while to think about getting out of that one.
Yeah.
If you'd done it quicker, you'd have got away with it.
Good save,
thanks,
Joe Hartest.
Yeah, we scored, and then you've dived now.
Yeah.
I said to the guys on the internet and the girls, but mostly the guys.
Uh-huh.
What are you most looking forward to in the Capital One Cup, and why? And Joe Levy comes straight in via the Facebook.
Yes.
Nicholas Bentner.
Oh, yeah.
How can we have gone past an Arsenal game and you not talk about Nicholas Bentner? Can Nicholas Bentner tear Chelsea to pieces?
I think we all know that he can.
He knows he can.
Yeah.
He knows it more than anyone.
He won't though, will he?
Yeah.
Or will he?
Another, well, you have to tune in at the end of the week to find out.
Yeah.
Or you could just watch it.
Well, the start of the week, it's Tuesday.
Yeah. Ed Cut on the Twitter says a now weekly battle between Wenger and his big coach Zip. Always enjoy betting whether he manages to do it up or give up.
Yeah,
can you place that bet anywhere?
I'm not sure.
I bet you can. No pun intended there.
Now, via the Facebook, Bertie Jenner says he's actually anticipating some ridiculous Halloween costumes for the Capital One Cup.
Oh, yeah!
That is a great show.
And I'm not sure if he's just a Norwich fan or whether he's just noticed it in the past, but he says Norwich have got a good reputation for doing it, so maybe keep your eye on Old Trafford for some Halloween costumes.
I think Big Sam might get involved.
There's a woman...
He normally does, every week.
There's a woman who goes to Norwich every week dressed as Delia Smith. It's incredible.
Yeah, very strange. You wouldn't expect that, would you?
Yeah. And she sits exactly where Delia does. Sorry, Luke.
No, I was just going to round up by saying, and Matt Gibson is obviously a Spurs fan, says, I hope Lamella looks like a £30 million player and not another Rebroff. Which is perhaps a bit harsh.
Not unreasonable.
So I got off. And I'll finish off by Josh Hanson via the Facebook, who says, the Capital One midweek ramble, of course. You sucker.
Aww.
I'll get you everywhere. Carry on like that. You get yourself a free T-shirt, Josh.
That's very good. I'm looking forward to the penalty shootout. There will be one.
I think there'll be more than one.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah.
Jim?
Yeah, I hope so. I love a penalty shootout. I love a midweek, under the floodlights penalty shootout. Let's have one of them.
I'm looking forward to Johan Gufran winning the Capital One Cup.
Not this week, though.
Starting his quest.
You never know. Maybe he will win it next week. He's very confident. To the point of delusion, so why not go crazy?
Well, that does conclude the Round 4 preview of the Capital One Cup, the Football Ramble, in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon enough with our review show of the Round 4 of the Capital One Cup.
Yeah, at the end of the week.
At the end of the week. Marvellous.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.